Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends, and welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That is me. And today I have my dear friend over here, Carol C.C. Miller. Hey, Carol.
Hello.
So good to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
You bet. I'm excited. So if you are new to Off the Cuff, I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston, and I'm here every weekday interviewing change makers, talking about interesting thoughts, anywhere from physical, metaphysical, and everything in between. And today I have a beautiful soul that is going to share with you some inspiration, I believe, just based on her personal thoughts and ideas and beliefs, and kindness coach. So I want to read your bio, Carol, so people can hear a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we're gonna jump in and see where it takes us.
Okay, sounds good. All right.
So Carol C.C. Miller is a kindness coach and positivity expert who helps her clients embrace their lives by discovering their superpower of kindness. I love that. Her groundbreaking work is changing the lives of over 1.6 million fans and followers from all around the world through her nonprofit organization, positivefocus.org. So that is a little bit about Carol, but I'll tell you a couple other things. Carol is also the person that inspired me, I don't even know how many years ago, to start doing the free hug days. How long ago was that, Carol? When did we start?
Goodness, I started doing it in 2008, and I met you, I believe, in 2010. So you've probably been doing it since then.
So yes, so Carol does the global free hugs, and out in May, and we go out and we wear t-shirts that say free hugs. Well, I wore a t-shirt that said free hugs, and we hang posters that say free hugs, and it's one of my favorite things to do, and I was invited by this lady to be able to do that. So Carol, let's start off with, you don't hear oftentimes a kindness coach. I think a lot of times people think you just either are kind or you're not kind, but a kindness coach, what does that mean? What does it involve?
Well, I think it's interesting when you even said that you're either kind or unkind, because we live in a spectrum, like from 0 to 100. And when I post anything or talk about kindness, I'll get comments immediately like, I'm always kind. I'm like, really? I've been doing this work for over a decade, and I promise you I'm not always kind. Yeah. I have a daily practice. I am diligent on focusing on kindness. And generally, my unkindness is directed toward me more than anybody else. But I'm not always kind. And I can't imagine, maybe the Dalai Lama is always kind, but I can't imagine the majority of people are always kind. So part of my work is to really get diligent about the awareness of what it is, because people do think, well, of course, always be kind. I'm always kind. We're in a kind of divisive part of our, you know, our history right now. And it's super easy for people to be unkind to the people they disagree with.
Yes.
I'm a big believer on, who do I want to show up as today? Do I want to show up as somebody who's helping others, or do I want to show up as somebody who's hurting others? Now, there's times where you can get triggered that you want to go into that blame, shame, and complain, because that energy is pretty prevalent right now to join, and it's easy to join it, but it's still a choice on if you're going to join it. So I work on keeping people's mindset that it truly is a choice. Every minute of the day, you get to choose how to show up. And some days that showing up is going to be your very best self. And some days your very best self is going to be, wow, I got out of bed today. That's amazing. So it's not about being perfect. You might know people who are perfect. I certainly don't. And I mean, I do this work. I live this work. I breathe this work. And I still have moments where I let fear lead me. And then because I'm aware of how it feels in my body, anger does not feel good to me. you know, frustration does not feel good to me. Sadness does not feel good to me. Although I would say out of those three, there are many experiences where sadness is absolutely necessary, like in the loss of a loved one, but it still doesn't feel good. So I look at what can I do right in this moment to just feel a little bit better. And one of the things is to be gentle with yourself, because like I mentioned, I'm the most unkind to myself over anybody else. I will probably get off of this interview and say, why didn't you say this? Or why did you say that? And that's just a natural thing to go into, is judging yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a couple of things that stood out in what you said that I totally agree with. Number one is my favorite word, choice. You have a 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 choice. And so if you are being unkind to yourself or someone else, you have a choice to stop that behavior, right? And the other thing that caught me was, and I believe this, I think this is true for most people. It certainly was true for me for a big part of my life. And that is the unkindness that we have for ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've really expanded beyond the majority of the time. I don't struggle with that like I did in the past. And I'm so grateful for it, because I spent so much energy there. So yeah. Much energy. So how do you help people? How do you help people become aware or catch when that, you know, that negative Nelly voice, that voice is putting you, how do you help people catch that voice, Carol?
Well, I think that's a really good point, because as you'd mentioned, in my past, like I've been doing this work since 2007, but prior to that, I would say I've always been a positive person. I was not a positive person for myself. Mm-hmm. I was unkind to my own thoughts. But I ignored my feelings. It's like, oh, everything's great and it's pretty and it's peachy and the world's sunny and bright. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's like, no, you have to feel those feelings. So it's not about stuffing them, but it's also not about giving them power to run your day. So you need to feel what you need to feel. So it depends on where I start with people. If they're brand new into this kind of thinking, I just have them write down for a week. What were they thinking? And not judge it, but just see, because a lot of people are on autopilot. They're on autopilot when things are going well in their life, and they're on autopilot when things aren't going well in their life. I can think of many days that it's like, I had a really good day, but did I take time in that day to really go into gratitude over it? Mm-hmm. So I was in autopilot that my day was going well. So it's about being aware of how you feel. And if it feels good, that's fine. If it doesn't feel good, what can you do in this moment to feel just slightly better? You know, I think one of the hardest things is we compare ourselves to other people. I know that that's one of my biggest challenges, is to, I should be here because that person's here. But we're all on our individual journey on what we're showing up as. So we get to make those choices in the moment and for the day on who do you want to be right now.
Well, that comparison, that's a killer right there, because what it does literally just kills, squashes your spirit. Yeah. And I know for me, that was a big struggle for myself too, is when I was younger, it was comparing myself to other people. And as I started to kind of I don't do that at all now, but what I think that sometimes then we get stuck in, when we start realizing, okay, yep, I don't want to compare to others, then we compare to either how we used to be. Mm-hmm. Whether that's how you used to act, how you used to look, how much money you used to make, how whatever you used to have, or where we thought we would be now, comparing
exactly
to the idea of, okay, by the time I'm 50, I'm supposed to be blah blah blah. So that word compare, the thing I learned, and I would imagine you probably agree with this too, is anytime that you compare anything, yourself or anybody else, there's always a loser.
Exactly. And it's not about being better, or there's always going to be somebody who has more than you, and there's always going to be somebody who has less than you. So if you're making that comparison, then you're losing the humanity of who those people are and who you are. It really isn't about, I mean, if we were all the same, that would be pretty boring to begin with.
Sure would be.
I'm pretty sure the world does not need a whole lot more Carol Millers walking around. So we need to have our individuality, but that's where kindness comes in, because you can 1,000,000% disagree with somebody and still be respectful.
You can
think that their way of living is absolutely wrong, and you can decide it's not right for me without judging them for living their life that way.
Yeah.
So there's people who have lifestyles that it isn't for me, but it's okay because it is for them.
Right.
So it's about how are you showing up, and you can choose to show up as a kind person. I think a lot of people struggle with kindness being a doormat. And I have struggled with that thought myself a long time ago, but it's so not true. That's why I call it your superpower. If you're able to deal with diversity or challenges and conflict in your life and still remain in who you want to be and not lower yourself into the negative energy, that's a superpower.
Yeah.
Now, some people, especially if they're so fear-based, they're not going to see that superpower, but they're not your people.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then in that case, if they're not seeing it, then just carry on, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest challenges I had when I got into this work and I still have people pleaser tendencies in me, but I used to be the person, if there were 10 people in the room and 9 of you loved me, but one person didn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like that one person, but I would focus on, why don't they like me? What did I do to them? I don't even like them, but it still bothered me that somebody didn't like me. And not everybody's going to like me. I don't resonate with everybody, nor does everybody resonate with me. That doesn't mean I have to hate them. That doesn't mean I have to put them down. It just means that we're not on the same path at this time. It could change, and maybe it's not supposed to change, but it's so easy to go into them being wrong because you're not suited well together.
Right. Or because they're not agreeing with you or for whatever reason. And then it's easy to be unkind instead of just honoring. You know, I always have thought about it this way since I was young. I've always thought about it as kind of like the world is like a salad bar. I'm a vegetarian. I don't want anything to do with the meats. I don't want to grab some chicken. I don't want some turkey. I don't want some beef on my salad. But I don't sit there and go, oh my God, I cannot believe that there is beef in this salad bar. I just avoid the salad bar. I just avoid the beef. I get my olives and my lettuce and my potato salad and whatever those things are. And I take what I like and I live my life and it works really well for me. And then those that like meat, then they grab the meat and that works really well for them. And it can just be that way. This is like a big idea of like, I know it's kind of mind blowing, right, guys? A simple idea. Like, couldn't we live our lives this way right now? It's okay.
And it's also okay to be frustrated that there's beef in that salad bar. The unkindness comes when you go to the waitress or to the manager and like, how dare you put this horrible beef in here when I'm a vegetarian and I can't be in the same room with it.
Right.
So you can
criticize the person that's sitting next to you that's eating it and going, oh my God, do you know animals died for that? And you should be eating that because of blah, blah, blah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, from just because we've known each other for so long, like I drink Diet Coke.
I know you do.
And it hasn't been, and I'm sure it's because I've become comfortable with it. But when I started in this work and working around the spiritual community, I cannot tell you how many people told me I was drinking poison, how horrible it was for me. And I think that that's something that's also for me interesting in the health industry as a whole, is they tend to focus on what's bad for you than telling you what's good for you. But you know what? Fear sells. So it's easy to get people to buy things when you're selling fear.
For sure. Well, and here's the thing is we can care about how other people are living, and you can have an investment in, you know, I really want you to be healthy and I want you to do this.
Yeah.
And that. There's a fine line between that and judging and being unkind to someone for, you know, doing, eating, drinking, saying, being, you know, what they're this religion, they're that religion. They do this kind of, of type of whatever. And instead just being a spiritual being to me is acknowledging that there are many, 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 many paths, and that there are times where I don't know about any of you, but there are times where whatever it is that's bad for me, that's the thing I want. And you know what? my life and I have a right to it.
Yeah.
So whatever you think is bad, because I don't know if y'all know, but if you listen to any of the dietary restrictions on all kinds of things, last year tomatoes are bad for you. This year they're the superfood. You know, last year right. you have this, you eat everything fat-free in the 90s. Now don't eat fat-free. Like the thing is more of how about you just honor yourself?
Exactly.
Not everybody else's business.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know that you can, as I said earlier, you can still disagree with somebody else's choices. Yeah. Yeah. They're not your choices, and that's totally fine, but that doesn't mean you have to blame them, shame them, or complain about it. That's where unkindness comes into. Like, you can still disagree with somebody and remain kind. Yes. And I think people don't, it always amazes me when people tell me, like, I'm always kind. And then I look at some of the comments that they're making on their social media. I'm like, that's not kind.
Right. Right.
So I think a lot of people aren't even aware of it.
So here's a question that we've got from the community. So all wonderful accepting things until they intend and do harm, then what? Your comments about just ignoring or thinking peace when the world is blowing up doesn't make sense to just accept. What do you say about that?
Okay, so I am not about accepting unkindness. I am not about accepting violence or anything like that. My point is to not add fuel to it by joining them in that space of anger, hostility. And people who don't know me, I'm not a big person. I'm only 4'10". But if I see physically unkindness going on, I step in and get involved immediately. I don't even think about the fact that, Carol, this may not be safe for you. It's just my immediate reaction is to get involved. But what I don't do is I don't go into the blaming them for the situation. I don't know what has created the space for, like, let's go into the looting. I don't know what has created that space. I know that I don't like it. But me shaming them for it, me blaming them for it without knowing the background and trying to step up and make a difference. Complaining, blaming, and shaming changes nothing. It fuels the fear energy. Mm-hmm. Coming up with solutions, it may be donating to organizations you believe in. It may be volunteering. It may be voting. It may be running for an office in your local community and getting involved in how you want your life and how you want the world to be, rather than fighting what you don't want in your life and what you don't want in the world. It's super easy to focus on what we don't want because it's right smack in our face right now.
Well, and it's in a way that we can express our frustration and anger that is acceptable
yeah.
in our society. It's actually not even acceptable. It's encouraged.
It is encouraged.
Times in our society. And so it is much harder, guys. And I stand on this. I stand really firm on this line. My son during the Black Lives Matter, my younger son was out protesting and I encouraged him to follow his spirit, even though we're mm-hmm. in the middle of COVID. There's a lot of other ripple effects of that, but it's his journey. He's 22 years old, 23 next week. He gets to make his decisions, and I want him to honor what feels true for him. And he said, "Well, Mom, you don't like what's happening either." And I said, "I don't. But the reality of it is, I won't ever go to something that we're fighting against. I will not push against what's already being pushed against. I will not add fuel to a fire." And I really agree with the Mother Teresa quote, and I always have resonated with that. You invite me to an anti whatever, I'm not there. You invite me to a peace rally, I'm in.
Exactly.
And so that makes a big difference. And I know a lot of people don't agree, and people say, if you're not speaking up, then you're part of the problem. There are a lot of ways that people speak up, and it mm-hmm. isn't always with their mouths. It can be with their money. It can be with their time. It can be with their energy. It can be with my visualization and my prayer every freaking morning. Like, that matters.
And it can be with your mouth in a non-unkind way. Mm-hmm. Like telling people that you're requiring, you know, justice for people. I can email, I can leave a message with the senator's office, and I'm not telling them horrible things about themselves or horrible things about the police. I'm telling them we need to fix this.
Right.
So you can still have a voice in change without it being you're a horrible human being for what's going on.
Right. Just focus on the solution and move the energy. Yeah. The goal instead of push against what's already happening.
There's exactly. And that Mother Teresa quote is one of my founding quotes for positive focus. Yeah. So
it's one of my founding quotes for Sunny Dawn Johnston.
Yeah. And I do think that that's where also people think if you're coming from that kind, peaceful space, that you're not strong because you're not showing up to fight against something. And fighting doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that there's times where I hear the news that I go into the, oh my God, how can this be going on? But it immediately doesn't feel good to me. So I ask myself, what can I do right now from where I'm at with what I have to make a change?
Right.
Sometimes that change is small and sharing smiles with people around me. Sometimes it's calling the senator's office. Sometimes it's donating money to people that I believe in. Sometimes it's going out in the street. I have not joined any of the protests, but I did a few years ago go to a women's march. Mm-hmm. And because it was called a march, not a protest, but there were still signs there of how dare you, you're a horrible human being kind of thing. But there was also a lot of inspiration and hope. And mm-hmm. I liked that part of it. But you don't know. You just have to be true to you.
Yes.
And ask yourself, who do you want to be today?
Right.
Do you want to uplift people? Or do you want to tear them down? And tearing down people who are tearing down others does not bring good change, positive change.
Yeah.
It just puts you in their energy.
Yeah.
And it's easy. It's so easy to join that energy. I totally understand.
It's very easy. And it's very easy right now because there are so many people that are shaming those that are not seemingly fighting. And so we get into the energy of, oh, well, okay, I better do this because people think I'm wrong. And I've stood on the other side of this, as many of you know, of I'm a lover, not a fighter, and I believe in love. And love doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. And love is not saying that we don't care. Love is often the harder choice.
I think love is absolutely the harder choice. And I think that was one of the things with positive focus is when I first got into it and I chose to call it positive focus is there's still this belief that if you're positive, you know, your head is in the sand, you're ignoring what's going around you and everything is rainbows and kittens.
Yeah.
And for some people, maybe that is their positive focus. But for me, it's staying in a space of what I want to be in my life, who I want to be in my life, heightens my celebrations and lessens my sorrows.
And
there's still things going on in my life that I am not fond of. I am not void of challenges in my life, but I also don't give all of my energy to that. Now, sometimes I give more of my energy than I want to what's not going right in my life, but it doesn't feel good, so I shift it. Sometimes that shift is 30 seconds. Sometimes it's a 30-minute shift, and sometimes it's a three-hour or a half a day shift.
Yeah.
Rarely is it a full day for me anymore, but sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that as you stay more committed to the focus of the positive focus? So for those of you that don't know, Carol, and I mentioned this in the beginning, has a community of over 1.6 million fans and followers on Positive Focus Facebook page. And the name of it's positivefocus.org. Do you think that people that when you are really focusing on the positive, positivity of things and the kindness in things, do you think that as you do it continuously, do you think that it gets easier or do you think that it gets your awareness of the opposite comes into play because you're in it, because there's so much, because I find that myself.
Yeah. I think it does both actually.
Yeah.
I think you're ultra aware of it. Mm-hmm. So you see the opposite very quickly, mm-hmm. but it also gives you the choice to really hone. I mean, I call it a positivity muscle. You know, we're focused on growing our muscles. It's a daily practice. And I've had people were like, of course you're positive. Your mm-hmm. life is easy. And I'm like, well, come live in my life for a while. And my life is amazing, but it's because I focus on what I love about it. I focus on gratitude. I focus on appreciation. So I create from that space of it. But it does not mean that I don't have challenges. It does not mean that fear doesn't visit me. I always tell people, let fear visit, because it reminds you to see what you don't want. Mm-hmm. But just don't let it move in, because if it moves in, then it takes over. And then it's easy to go down that path of how dare they shouldn't do this, and shaming people. Mm-hmm. And it's really, that's a challenge for me, is to understand how shaming people is going to make them better. When I'm working with clients, or even for myself, if I'm super frustrated with somebody, or we'll even use the word angry. I'm not a big fan of being angry. That's just not my mode. But I will write down a letter of exactly how I feel and how they did me wrong, or what they did to somebody else. And then I will shred it. And then I will write something, and I either share it with them or I don't. Mm-hmm. But then I write something that they can hear, because I think about when, and thankfully it doesn't happen often, but when somebody's super mad at me and they're yelling at me or telling me I did this wrong and that wrong and the other thing, I've most likely shut down to hearing what they have to say, because I go into defensive mode. So they might be totally right that I hurt their feelings accidentally, and I'm not even listening to them because they are shaming me or blaming and complaining about me. So if they came to me and said, Carol, that really hurt my feelings, then I would be able to hear it and make amends and like, oh, I didn't even think of that being something that could hurt your feelings, because I would never intentionally hurt anyone's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the questions. One of the things that really changed for me, that helped me to change the taking things personal and the feeling of like somebody is upset or mad and then the defense, right? Then yeah. The conversation right here. One of the things that really changed for me, and this might be valuable to some of you, because I think a lot of times, most of the time, people are just being people. They're not actually trying to hurt you. They're just being who they are, and they're just reacting from their own responses, their own triggers, from their own pain, from their own childhood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here we all are out here. We're all living our lives, and we're all being activated by our own shit that's inside, but it's getting activated by other people. And then we look at the other people, and we blame them. We point the finger, and we go, wait a minute. So one of the things that helped me was, and I started doing this, gosh, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago maybe, was the very first question I would ask myself is, does that person love me? Does that person care about me? And most of the time, not now if it's a stranger, I don't even ask that question. Like, I don't give a shit. but this is, it's usually people that we care about that are right. Push our buttons. So does that person love me or care about me? Yes. Okay. Really, would they intentionally want to cause me harm? And if you can have a conscious moment, like really get into your heart and into your mind and say, no, you know what? That person has done this, this, and this for me. Why would they intentionally hurt me? Okay. This is likely not about you. So why are you making it about you? Like, we like to be the star in every show, right? And a lot of times it isn't about us. So when we can do that, we can have the kindness of, what I do is, it's likely something that's happening within them. And I took something personal because I have my own shit. So where did that come from? What do you need to look at?
Yeah.
And that turned it around for me, where it is an extremely rare occasion. And I can't think of the last time it happened, quite honestly, where I take something personal. Because I know that if there's something that's bumping up against me, that's my shit. And if there's something that somebody's saying that affects me, then I need to look at why it's triggering me.
Yeah, that's a great one. I have not done that. What I usually have people do is, if they're so upset with somebody, is I ask them to list three things that they're grateful for about that person to shift their energy. So then they can bring a new energy into the situation and look at it from a clearer perspective rather than looking at it from anger. When we have that filter of anger, we're not seeing the fact that that person, wait a second, that person really does love me. And doesn't mean that it does not mean that you necessarily have to keep that person in your life. That's another thing I think people feel, that because, you know, I love everybody, that gives them carte blanche to be whatever. And for me, some people it's love from a distance. Some people it's like removing them from my life because we are not good in each other's lives. And that's okay. Right. Not every person is meant to be in your life. And so it's okay.
And not everybody's meant to be in your life forever either. So some right. people come in and they teach you a lesson, you learn something. And I'll go as far as saying many people in my community know this about me, but I haven't had a relationship with my dad for 13 years. And that's chosen by me. And a lot, I remember when I first was, it took me 10 years to get to have the nerve to be able to not have a relationship with him because there was so much, there's so much enmeshment and there was so much unhealthy connection there. And so when I actually was getting to a place where I was realizing, oh my God, we just cannot be in each other's lives. The thought, this is the thought that came to me. And this is probably one of the really big last times I was like, oh my God, was you are a spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
What are people going to think if you can't heal your relationship with your dad, if you can't be there, if you can't figure it out, if you can't fix it, why would anybody ever want to listen to you? What is wrong with you? That was the tape. And then my spirit came in and said, are you freaking kidding? You have done so much to be able to do this and you don't have to do that. You no longer need to take this class. You have graduated. And sometimes when you're finished with the class, it's okay to say, I'm done.
Well, exactly. And that's the whole point for me is that you did heal your relationship with your father by removing him from your life. And that's okay. Some other people might be able to have a relationship and then you decide to minimize because we are so stuck on our biological family as everything, you know, blood is thicker than water. Well, no, it isn't. Like if it's somebody who is detrimental to your world, you don't have to blame, shame, and complain about them, but you can lessen your time with them or you can remove them completely and remove them with love. That's why there's a few people that I don't have in my life anymore. And if I think about them, I send them love. But if they were in my life, I would be focused more on the frustration and the whatever that wasn't working in the relationship to begin with. But it's really, you get to decide who you share your time, energy, and heart with.
Right.
And I like to have people who are uplifting and I uplift with them. And there's people who want to progress into kindness and that's fine too. But the people who choose to stay in blame, shame, and complain, they're not for me, and that's okay.
Well, and I think the key, I know what the key was for me that was different when I finally did it than the times before when I was trying was I did it from a place of love.
Yeah.
I loved myself enough and I cared enough about how I felt and realized that I was the one that was aware. I'm the one that knows. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue that this is the cycle that happens. So I had to love myself enough and love him enough to say, even though I'm the child, even though I'm the one right now that recognized this, I have to be the one to stop the relationship because me being in it is engaging the situation to keep the cycle going. And I love myself and you more than that.
Yeah, it's keeping that energy flow going that isn't serving either of you.
Exactly. So doing it from love versus I pissed off and you get out of my life and I'm never going to see you again. And that's not how it was for me. And then that's what's important is that difference. Because I know there's people, a lot of people are saying, amen, I got it. I had to do it but you got to do it from a place of love. If you don't, then there's so much trauma and torment because
the energy is still connected.
For sure it is.
Like it's very much connected if you're not willing to let go from a space of love.
For sure. For sure. Okay, so I have a couple questions.
Oh boy, here we go.
All right. Spiritual bypassing on dealing with life's challenges. What would you say spiritual, because there's lots of different perspectives on that. What would you say that looks like? What does that look like?
For me, and again, it's just for me, is because it's about, again, love. And there's probably people who think I do spiritual bypassing, but it's about pretending things are good or, well, we have to go through this because of what's coming next. I absolutely believe that we're evolving and changing and everything, you know, is quote and unquote for a reason. But if I am here and there's unkindness and injustice going around me and I'm able to do something about it rather than just say, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to do something. Where there are certain people who just don't even want to talk about it. I always love how they say, like, I don't talk about politics. I don't like politics. It's not some like, let's talk about politics today. But I do like to talk about decency. I do like to talk about kindness. I do like to talk about empathy and compassion. So those are conversations that I can have around that. You do not have to agree with me politically, but we can still be kind. We can still be empathetic and compassionate. And so that's where that's my idea of it.
Okay. The beauty in grief.
Ooh.
The beauty in grief.
Gosh, can I talk about that without tearing up? Maybe not.
It's okay.
So, as you know, my mom passed away. God, I hate that you do this to me. I think that there's such beauty in grief because, like, my mom was sick for many years. And so probably actually it was like a week before she passed, I finally gave into it. Before that, it was always like, pray for my mom and for the highest good of everybody. But the highest good was for me, not for everybody else and not for my mom, certainly. But I found a lot of beauty in being able to tell her it was going to be okay and to help her through the process. But I would never have thought until then that there would be beauty in grief.
It to me is one of, we had a grief specialist on here a couple months ago. And to me, it is one of the most sacred. So yeah. The transition of life from physical to spiritual is one of the most sacred experiences I've ever gone through in my life. And I've been blessed to be with several people when they've transitioned, but then the grief afterwards, and I do think that there is choice in this also.
Yeah.
But the grief afterwards, I think, is a process of recognizing, you know, that without the love, we wouldn't have the grief.
Absolutely. And I think for me, what I discovered is that the tears, people are like, oh, that's so sad. Some of my tears are totally happy that I got to, like, it's more of a touching tear than a sad tear, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not about, oh, Carol needs to be comforted because her mom passed away. It was just like, I had no idea the impact it would have. And it just makes life even more precious. And it's not about more precious because you can lose it, but it's more precious because you have it.
Yes, exactly. It's the appreciation and the recognition of impermanence, I think, and on one level, and then the appreciation of all that we have. And when we recognize that without the energy of love, there would be no sense of loss.
Yeah.
And then when we start to recognize that they're really not lost.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And I knew that beforehand anyway. So it's like, Carol,
in your life, you would, but knowing it here and experiencing it in its truth when that happens, it's two different things.
And I think that that's also a good point, as even though you know it, you still need to feel it and experience it, because it is a physical loss. It's not necessarily the energetic loss.
Right.
I mean, it could be an energetic loss if you're in such deep grief, you can't feel the connection that you have with them. There's certainly still that. But it really is, you need to feel your feels, because when you stuff them, they're going to come back somewhere, probably at an inappropriate time. And you're going to have to deal with them at some point. And like I said, years ago, I would, oh, everything's perfect. And I would totally ignore them. And when I had to start working with them and feeling them and healing them, I'm like, this is not fun. But it was totally worthwhile. And I don't stuff them. Like, I don't feel badly for very long because I have tools to work through it. But I don't, if I'm not feeling good, I'm like, Carol, you're the founder of Positive Focus. You need to feel good right now. I will work on it and not stuff it anymore, where I used to stuff hard feelings or sad, not sadness as much, but, you know, life is good, Sonny. Why are you in a bad mood? You know, just be happy.
Yeah.
I would probably be a millionaire if I could take ownership of all the people I told, just be happy in my 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Well, and we're not always taught how to feel our feelings. I think a lot of times part of the training was, you know, wipe that frown off your face and get out of that mood and, you know, smile for the picture. And, you know, I learned from my son, who's 30 now. When we would take pictures, he told me this all the time. I wasn't born with a smile. He always told me that. He was a difficult little shit. And so there are a lot of times I'm like, I know you had a smile when you were little, but it has been gone. And I want you to freaking find that smile right now, this minute, you know? So now when I look at those pictures, I love them because he's usually like this or like that. Now they make me smile. Like, oh my God, I was so trying to convince him to find a smile.
Yeah.
So, he was going to be himself, and he taught me that. And, I didn't want him to be himself. I want him to be the way I wanted him to be. So, thank God we both learned through that.
I think that's a huge thing. And I know it's something that I've had to deal with, is to learn how to love people for where they are rather than, because it's easy to see potential in them or their highest self because whatever they're dealing with, fear, but you need to love people where they're at right now. Doesn't mean you have to participate, but that's who they are today, is in that space, and it's okay.
And honoring that. It's not easy. I was just actually talking to a friend of mine who was asking me some questions about a challenge she's going through. And you know, and this is what she was saying is, you know, you're one of the only people that I know that can sit with people in the heaviness, pain of things, and still hold your energy. And it's not because that's what I chose to do. It's because that's how life has trained me, because I've had so many blessed opportunities to sit with people, you know, dealing as a medium and dealing with death every day and being a hospice volunteer and all these things, dealing with that. And I know you've dealt with that and a lot of the work that you've done in prisons and things like that. It's just holding that space and honoring where people are, even when we want and can see where they could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so important. And actually in my coaching, like, I tell people that about you all the time, that you're able to, like, if I come to you with a big challenge I'm dealing with, you're like, I got you, sister, or whatever, without going into how dare they treat you that way. And that's what I do with any of my clients or friends. But then I always say, because again, people know my size, like, who do I need to beat up for you? I'm like, we can fix this, but if you need me to beat them up, I will.
All right. I'm going to ask you some off the cuff questions now.
Okay.
These are the fun ones. Okay. How do you define success, Carol?
Oh, that's not a fun question. What are you talking about? I define success on how much of the time I show up as my best self and show up in a space of love, kindness, and compassion.
That's beautiful. I love that. I think that's a great way. The things that we were taught to measure success don't really work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. In a word or two, what is your greatest challenge?
A word or two. My greatest challenge would probably be I'm enough to do the work I do.
Mm. Yep. And what's your greatest quality?
Compassion.
Mm. Look how easy that one came.
Or hugs. One of the two. But I can't hug right now because of COVID. So I'm going with compassion.
Yes. I know. I love the hugs. Okay. Do you have any kind of obsessions or things that you spend a lot of time in, not when you're working, but just something that you really like dig into? And maybe it's some kind of geeky, nerdy kind of thing, or like, what's something you get really excited or geeked out about?
Well, I get geeked out about sailing. So I love anything to do with the water and especially be on the water. So sailing movies, going sailing. That's certainly one of the things. And then I don't even like calling something a guilty pleasure. I love Hallmark movies. I watch them way too much. I watch how the city girl needs to go back to her. I live in Chicago, so I love big cities. the city girl needs to go back to her small town community to fall in love with her high school sweetheart because her boyfriend in the city is all about corporations and money, but I still watch him.
I love that. I love that. All right. What is your favorite documentary, if you have one?
Oh, goodness. I have a few, but probably the Mr. Rogers documentary that I saw. There was a documentary several years ago. I don't remember the title. I want to say it might have even just been called Forgiveness. Mm. And they spoke with several different people who had had traumatic experiences and how they forgave. Like, one was a gentleman who forgave the other man whose son killed his son. Mm. And so it was just powerful about truly how powerful forgiveness is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Is there somebody in your life that has influence on you, like the most influential person that you have either in your life now or that you've had in your past?
Okay. In my life now, you would be one of them. Gosh, can it be somebody that I don't really know?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers. Yeah. Mr. Rogers and Wayne Dyer are two. I say that they're on my spirit team. So they are two massive influences for me.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Do you collect anything?
I used to. I don't really now. I collect crystals or heart-shaped things. I like that. But I used to collect like Christmas decoration type things, but I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, when you start running out of room, right? Like,
exactly.
How many ornaments can I put on a tree?
Exactly. And I don't even have a tree anymore. So it's like...
any favorite quotes?
Well, I can't say it verbatim because I never remember, but that Mother Teresa one is by far one of them. Another one is, and I don't know who said it, but you can't worry and love at the same time. And then the third one is the world isn't asking to be loved. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to remember it. The world isn't asking to be healed. It's asking to be loved. And that is what will heal it.
Mm. Oh, I like that one. That's a good one.
And that was another author unknown. I don't know who said that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. What was your first job?
I worked at the newspaper in the community that I grew up as a sports clerk. So I took in high school sports scores and wrote little blurbs about it.
Ah, how fun. Okay, that's cool. And what's the best advice you ever heard?
To be kind to yourself.
Mm, I love it. I love it. All right, Carol. So everybody that might want to learn more about you, find out more about what you're doing, get some coaching, etc., where can they go to track you down, sister?
It would be carolccmiller.com. That is my page, or positive-focus.org.
Yes, positive-focus.org. And you can go to Facebook and put in Positive Focus, and you will see her page. It's got beautiful, beautiful positive messages. And again, remember, guys, being positive doesn't mean that you don't recognize that shit's going on in the world.
Right.
What it means is that you choose to focus on things that can actually move the needle in a positive way. To me, the my favorite quote probably of all time is, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And when we're being positive, we're being that change.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Last message for those that are watching and listening right now, Carol, what would you want to leave them with?
I would want to leave them with to be gentle with yourselves, because you're doing the best you can with what you have, and we are our worst enemies. So maybe just look about, what would your friend say to you? If you're struggling right now, what would your best friend be giving you advice? They'd still be being honest with you, but they certainly wouldn't be beating you up and calling you the names that you're probably calling yourself right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Be kind to my friend. That's what I usually say when I hear somebody talking down. I go, hey, you, be kind to my friend. Don't you talk to my friend that way.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, sister. All right. So carolccmiller.com or positive-focus.org. You can go check her out there. And thank you so much, sister. We've known each other for a long time, guys. Where did we meet, Carol? How long ago? 10 years ago?
I believe we met in Phoenix in 2010.
2010. and probably at a conference.
Yep, it was at a conference, and then you came to Chicago. I hosted you in Chicago in 2011, and then a few different times. One time on my rooftop, which might be my favorite.
Yes, we did. So I've done a lot of events in Chicago with Carol, and she's always been such a beautiful host, and she has a great community. So you guys go check her out. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.